Good morning. Welcome back to the WAMC On the Roads live broadcast from the Hannah Arendt Center's 17th annual Fall Conference on Joy, Living in the World in Dark Times, on the campus of Bard College in Annandale on Hudson, New York, before a live audience. You can tell they're live because they sound like this. The conference offers a crucial lens for finding meaning and connection amidst today's fractured world, bringing together notable speakers with diverse narratives and insights. The conference is a timely exploration of joy as a powerful force and a vital conversation about fostering resilience. We will be speaking with many of the participants both before and after their conference appearances. We are broadcasting from Olin Hall on the campus of Bard as the conference goes on in the same building just down the hall. Joy is at once more visceral and riskier than happiness. What brings you joy? Joy is the lasting delight we feel when touched deeply by what matters most. We will discuss many facets of joy on the program this morning. Before they begin the second day of the conference, we welcome our hosts this morning. We are thrilled to have the president of Bard College, Leon Botstein, with us. Leon Botstein has been the president of Bard since 1975. He is also music director and principal conductor of the American Symphony Orchestra and conductor laureate of the Jerusalem Symphony Orchestra, where he had served as music director. He's also founder and co-artistic director of the Bard Music Festival. And Roger Berkowitz is here, professor of political studies and human rights and founder and academic director of the Hannah Arendt Center for Politics and Humanities of Bard College, a regular panelist on the roundtable. We are thrilled to have Roger here as well. So give us a sense of what it has been like for you to see this grow, Leon Botstein.
To see this...
The Hannah Arendt Center, yes. The conference, the 17th year of this conference?
Yeah, well, I think Roger and his colleagues have done a fantastic job. Our connection to Hannah Arendt, who turns out to be the perhaps the most widely read philosopher of the 20th century, was that her husband taught philosophy here, and for almost 16 years, from 51 to the late 60s, and that she was essentially a member through that of the community here at Bard, and they had a home on the other side of the river. And by coincidence, I happened to be a student of her at the University of hers at the University of Chicago, and she played a behind-the-scenes role in my getting this job. So she did it very craftily and well, so I'm very indebted to her. And so the idea, she left her library to Bard, so her library with all its annotations is part of the Bard Library, and we have colleagues who are working with Roger in producing a bilingual critical edition of all of her writings, which is long overdue. So it's been a terrific edition, and Roger has done a fantastic job both in the reach of the conference, his writings, the website, the various events that he sponsored in his own work, and it really is it's one of the pride and joys of the college.
Roger Berkowitz, I'm interested in the idea of what you've been able to accomplish over this time, and give us a sense of sort of the larger work, and then put into context how this conference fits in with the overall work that is done.
Thanks, Joe. Yeah, I mean, when starting the center was somewhat of an accident, I think it's important to realize, which I think is very Arendtian. Arendt is someone who believes in new things, in spontaneity, and in freedom, and unexpected events. I was not a Hannah Arendt scholar when I came to Bard, but her library was here, as Leon said, and she's buried here out in the cemetery. It was her 100th birthday, and I said to Leon, let's do a conference on her, and he said, great, let's do it. You know, I think neither of us expected this to happen. I wasn't planning to start a center. I thought it was just a conference. You know, Leon said that she's probably the most widely read philosopher, political thinker of the 20th century, which I think is true. Her writing, which is about the world, she's not a typical philosopher. She didn't think of herself as a philosopher. She wrote about events. She wrote about totalitarianism, fascism. She wrote about education. She wrote about discrimination. And she did it with an incredible background and love of the humanities and of humanity. And at a time in which people are really searching to understand events which seem beyond our control, out of control, I think Arendt's works, whether it's about how to understand truth and politics and the way that truth and politics don't go together, or way it's how to understand the foundation of tyranny in the corruption of a citizenry. These are things that people are searching for. They're also searching for what does it mean to, what are we fighting for? We all know what we're fighting against, but what are we fighting for? And her idea of amor mundi, for the love of the world, that we should be grateful for the world and we should learn to make the world, make ourselves understand the world in a way that we love it, with some limitations, right? She says there's a merciless boundary to that, and there are certain things we cannot reconcile to. And that's why joy, and this is what I was speaking about yesterday at the conference, joy in the end for her requires political judgment. It's a judgment about what I can love and what I can't. But she thinks that there's much more that we can love than we usually allow ourselves to. And I think that idea of how to find what's lovable in the world. Teju Cole was here yesterday speaking about Operation Lightness, the small things, the everyday things that make our love, our world, and our love of the world meaningful to us, is something Anna Arendt really did speak about and write about. And I think it's one of the reasons she's become such a seminal figure in the world today.
Leon?
Yeah, a complementary explanation of Roger's observation is the fact that we cannot forget that she was, A, an émigré, two, Jewish. Jewish in a secular, not religious observant way, but the victim and the observer of extreme anti-Semitism in Germany in the 20s and 30s, and became a Zionist and was forced to flee Germany. And she had already from her study of antiquity an idealized conception of what could be possible in a political community. Now, fast forward to America today, her relevance is partly that she was a deep defender of citizenship to be acquired not by birth, but by petition, if you will. She was a fierce defender of the idea of America as a safe haven for people fleeing tyranny. She was a believer in the possibilities of democracy and of a just society. And we're living in a time in which we have essentially closed our borders, made immigrants feel unwelcome, second class. We deport people from the streets with armed bands, strangely reminiscent of Gestapo and secret police. And we do that without due process of law. We fire on boats with people on them. We do everything that she feared and saw herself. So to read her and to think about how do we prevent this nation falling into an autocratic darkness, that she is profoundly relevant. The perversion, for example, of the use of anti-Semitism as some kind of justification for the onset of autocracy and the evisceration of the autonomy of universities. So she's not only profoundly inspiring in how we think about ourselves in the world, but she also has a very particular relevance to the moment we're in now.
The two of you have to go start the conference, so I don't want to hold you up. I do have two questions, one for each of you, if I could. One is to what you were saying, Leon, about universities. How have you felt that at Bard, and how do you deal with what is happening within the community of universities in this country?
The answer is simple. We're too small, and we're not a research university, so we are not really on the radar screen of the Trump administration. We have a large international presence, but in fact, this is a lot about the theater of authority, and we're not important enough to be on the stage, and I'm glad for that. So I have a lot of sympathy for colleagues who are running research universities where they're completely dependent on the government and on the traditions of overhead and support of basic research. So we feel it in both direct and indirect ways, you know, visas, getting students from abroad, cuts in funding, particularly in the arts and the humanities and some of our scientists. But we're less totally vulnerable than a place like Harvard or Columbia or Penn or Brown. So we have it much easier. The climate is hard because you want to instill in students a sense of possibility and of hope and of the use of the procedures of democracy. We're still a free country. And this president and government was elected freely by the citizens, and we can't claim that it was, you know, taken. And we have to find a way to convince our fellow citizens to bring this era to an end.
Final question before we move on. And Roger, the name of the conference, Joy, Loving the World in Dark Times. And you touched on this when you were speaking just a moment ago, but in a minute or less, tell us about the idea of joy as the centerpiece and the idea that will direct and is directing this particular conference.
Well, yeah, I really do believe, you know, we understand racism when we see it, and we understand masked vans of people. I mean, the very fact that we have government officials wearing masks, running around and pulling people out of cars in their homes, we know what we're fighting against. But I think one of the reasons that we're having trouble in a way of convincing people to do something else, as Leon said, is that we often don't know what we're fighting for. There's a real lack of, I think, strong sense of what we believe in. And joy to me is this blessedness. It's a belief. It's what we actually share. And the idea behind the conference on joy is how do we come to find the common ideas that will allow us to build a new world. I think the reason that the revolution, the MAGA revolution, has succeeded to the extent it has is because there was a real sense, and I think not unjustified sense, that the institutions of the liberal world were corrupt and were failing in important ways. And there's a revolution going on breaking those institutions, but they don't know what to replace them with. And joy is a way to rethink what does it mean to find what really we care about, what matters to us. And so it's the beginning of how to think about a new revolution.
And that is what we will be exploring this morning throughout our remaining 2.5 hours. Roger Berkowitz is founder and academic director of the Hannah Arendt Center for Politics and the Humanities at Bard College, where Joy, Loving the World in Dark Times, the conference goes on through the end of the day today at Bard College, and president of Bard, Leon Botstein. Both, thank you so much for taking time out. It's an honor to be here. Thank you so much for the invitation, and best of luck.
Thank you.
Well, thank you very much.
Be well. Thank you so much. We'll be right back with more Roundtable right after this.